Again, Medical Education Podcast listeners, this is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, talking to you from an early October day where days are getting unfortunately short again, but I am sure that my guest today will bring some brightness into your ears. I'm going to be speaking momentarily with Sanne Schuurs, who is a PhD student from the Netherlands and who is very understanding about my poor pronunciation of her name. So I hope that was reasonably close. And thank you, Sanne, for joining me today.
It was very close. Thank you for having me.
So you're at Maastricht University and coming near the end of your PhD, I understand. So that's fantastic.
It is. Yeah, I have a lot of projects I still want to do, but otherwise it's great. Yeah.
So I called you today for the opportunity to talk about a paper that our listeners won't yet know is coming out in the December issue of Medical Education. The title is Selection Paying Off? A Cost-Benefit Comparison of Medical School Selection and Lottery. First of all, the title says it all in terms of the uniqueness of this paper and taking a close look at whether selection procedures are worth it. But I suspect I need to start by asking you to explain the lottery system in the Netherlands. I'm sure many people across the world are unfamiliar with how your selection takes place.
Yeah, true. I think up until not that recently, actually, we only had a lottery procedure in which people that had a GPA of an 8.0 or higher, and for us it's a 1 to 10 scale with 10 being pretty much perfect. So if you have an 8 or higher, you would be guaranteed access to medical school. And anything below that, you will be put in a category. And every category has a lower chance of getting into medical school. So then 7.5 to 8 still has a relatively high chance, and then 7 to 7.5 a little lower, and so on. This system was gradually being replaced by selection. Selection is, I think, known for most of medical educators. What we did was we had several years of kind of implementing that change step by step. So at our university, we started doing selection in 2011. We selected half, and then from 2014 on, everyone in the Netherlands has to be selected.
Right, and my understanding of the history is that the lottery came about in an effort to be fair and to recognize that some of the selection techniques that could be used aren't necessarily selecting people for valid or meaningful reasons. Of course, if you try to change anything from a lottery system, it becomes much more expensive. Was that part of the conversation as this evolution has taken place? How has the debate played out for you locally in terms of schools trying to decide what they will do?
Yeah, the discussion focuses mostly on the predictive value, actually. And as soon as the predictive value seems to be quite low, the conclusion is that that means that it's not worth it in terms of money. But no one actually looked at what does it cost, and even if it is limited predictive value, what does it bring you? So the discussion does go into the cost effectiveness a little bit, but there is no real data on it. And that's what we tried to change. So the discussion right now is we went from lottery to selection, and selection is not at every university in the Netherlands very positively seen. So there's a big difference in how students are selected at each university, and there's a big difference in how the universities see their selection. I just actually published another article that says that we do find relatively good predictive value. So that's a difference between us and some of the other universities. So we are relatively positive, but we can't say, okay, we are positive about selection, so we can just keep doing it. So we went into the cost effectiveness part that everyone was kind of referring to, but nobody really knew anything about.
And what is known about costs, I imagine, is much more blatant or obvious when you're talking about mounting the selection procedure than the cost of some of the impacts of right or wrong decisions in that selection procedure. Right? If you have to actually do something to collect the data, then there are obvious point in time things that you need to do in order to make that happen. How did you go about defining what the costs were, either through the selection process or in terms of what it costs to make a right or wrong decision.
Yeah, so the costs were actually pretty easy because the lottery procedure is done based on information that we get from government departments. So we can just get their GPA and the lottery kind of runs itself. Obviously, there's logistics that are involved and a lot of administration, but it's not as huge as selection because obviously, if you're going to implement selection, you're going to have to create the selection procedure, you're going to have to keep improving it, you have to have people that are present, that are looking at the assignments and that are giving the grades, that are making sure that everything is going well. So that costs a lot of money. And the good thing is that we have an entire administration of what it cost. So in terms of what does the selection cost, that is not too tough to disentangle. The benefit side is way tougher because obviously, if you do selection, there are a lot of possible outcomes. So the first thing we did was we decided to focus on a medical school perspective because if you go looking at the student's perspective, there's a whole lot of different benefits, also different costs, of course, but different benefits. And for the government, for the society, for patients, all the benefits differ a lot. So we went into what the benefits would be for the medical school and then in the medical bachelor's. So the system in the Netherlands is you have a 3-year bachelor and then you have a 3-year master. And the bachelor is a little more theoretical, preclinical, and then the master would be the clinical part. So we looked at the benefits in the bachelor for the medical school.
And can you give us a few examples of the types of things that fed into that equation?
Of course, the biggest one we had was dropout. The system in the Netherlands that it's governmentally funded medical education. So as soon as a student drops out, there is an empty spot in our curriculum, and that spot just costs a lot of money. And then there's also redoing OSCEs, for example, and redoing blocks.
By cost a lot of money from dropout, you mean the institution doesn't get the funding for that position.
Yes.
I should ask you to back up just a little bit, just realizing we haven't said a lot about what's involved in the selection procedure as you run it. Do you use interviews or essays, or how are you selecting students now?
Okay, so we have a 2-round selection procedure. In the first round, the students fill in a portfolio in which they tell us what they did up till then, academically speaking. So, high school, did they do any extra courses, extracurricular activities that they think gave them competencies that a doctor would need? Also, the curriculum in Maastricht, do you know what curriculum you're signing up for? Do you know that we're doing problem-based learning? And is that something that would fit with you as a student? And then based on that, there is a little crude measure, and then we go into the second round, and the double the amount of students that can actually get into our curriculum will be invited to the second round, which consists of a situational judgment test. So the students are given a video in which a situation occurs, and then they have to respond to the situation or give their opinion, feelings, something about that situation. And there's also an aptitude test in which also they are either confronted with situations or they're asked about things that are going on in the medical world right now. And all of the entire selection procedure is based on the KenMed's competencies, but then translated into some the competencies that a 17 or 18 year old, which is where we're selecting, could actually possess.
Thank you. So with that, let's stop keeping people in suspense. What was the relative balance in terms of the costs or benefits of selection versus lottery?
Okay, so on the cost side, obviously selection is way more expensive, but that is made up for by having students that drop out less and redo less OSCEs and courses. So I think at the end it was almost 70,000 that we could spare by selecting. And that's only in the bachelor. So we're actually expecting more differences even in the master.
Right, so the average benefits of mounting selection over the lottery was 70,000 euros greater than the cost of the selection process itself.
Yes.
Right? And again, only for half of their training. So you've already not only made back the cost of the selection, but had a 50% return on top of that, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, the benefits are actually still costs. So it's a little difficult to grasp, but the idea is that we looked at what would an entire cohort of selected students cost at the end of the 3 years, and what would an entire cohort of lottery students cost at the end of the 3 years. And the difference in costs there is so large that it not only covers the selection procedure, but also creates less loss. Does that make sense?
I believe it does. Absolutely. It really does turn things on its head, right? It sort of forces us to look a bit more deliberately about what are the implications of the decision and the struggles that might come, as opposed to focusing purely on what do we need to lay out in that first moment to make the decision. It's incredibly important data, I think. Has it changed anything for you locally, or were you already on the path towards using a more extensive selection system even before you knew this?
This is actually the selection procedure that we have been using and are still using, but it does strengthen our feeling that what we're doing is at least on the right track. We tried to get our selection procedure to be as closely related to our curriculum as we could so that there's a very nice line within our selection into our bachelor and into our master. So I think that really helps, but it also helps us a lot within the Netherlands because there's this huge movement saying we maybe should go back to the lottery procedure. And this really gives us a better argument to say, well, we don't think that we should go back to the lottery system, and not just because there is this potential for selecting maybe better doctors, which is, after all, what we're trying to do, but it also actually already gives us an argument to do it for the bachelor in itself.
Right, and it likely goes without saying that the specific numbers are going to vary from one school to the next, and certainly from one country to the next. And so you carefully point out in your paper that people shouldn't assume that the difference between the costs and benefits that you've observed are necessarily the same in their place, but it does make a very strong argument for people needing to do this sort of thing to understand their selection processes more fully. As a way of wrapping up, do you have any particular advice for others in terms of how they might most efficiently or effectively go about doing this sort of analysis for themselves?
That is a really good question. We thought about this a lot, and when we started out, it seemed like it would be an easy paper because we figured you would just find out the costs and then you would just find out the benefits, and it was a lot more complicated than that. The thing is that we almost already found a large enough difference when we looked only at dropout. So that might be a thing to look at. Like, what does dropout cost you? And how much dropout can you prevent using selection? I think that's already a big part. And then I do know that some of the universities in the Netherlands already know what their selection costs. I think I saw it in an article by Marieke de Visser that she knows about the cost of the selection in Nijmegen. So I think there is some awareness there. It's just it hasn't been contrasted with the benefit that they could potentially have.
Right, great, and thank you. And I guess at a minimum, if nothing else, just having the deliberate conversation rather than assuming that the selection procedure is more expensive than other consequences that could arise, good advice in and of itself.
Absolutely, yeah.
So thank you for sharing these data with us. It's game changing, as I said, I think, in terms of how we conceive of these things in general in medical education. There have been a few calls to start paying attention to costs and very few examples of it. So I think this paper does provide a very nice example that probably provides different ways of thinking about our education practices, even well beyond the selection process.
Absolutely, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So I'll just remind the people listening the title of the paper we've been discussing is Selection Paying Off? A Cost-Benefit Comparison of Medical School Selection versus Lottery. You'll find it in the December 2018 issue of Medical Education, if not online early beforehand. And the individual you've been listening to is the PhD student who's responsible for this work, who is Sana Schuss. And again, I've probably mispronounced that, so I'm going to spell it for those who need to find it, which is Schreurs. But again, the December 2018 issue of MedEd will get you there. Thank you very much, Sana, for making the time to talk, and I wish you the best of luck with the completion of your studies.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks again for having me.